You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Deafening sound. Guy Butters must score. He doesn't. He's missed. It's saved by Nicky Weaver. And Manchester City are back in the first division. That is quite an astonishing game.
De Vries with the cross. The header. It's in. It's Connor Jennings. Tranmere Rovers, whose double dip led to their world caving in, could be getting back to where they were in double quick time.
The ball in, header blocked. Jimmy Glass scores! The Carlisle United! Amazing scenes at Brunton Park.
Hello and welcome to another action-packed edition of the official EFL podcast. We've got everything in this week's show and an expert panel of pundits. We'll be talking the Skybet League One playoffs with Simon Grayson and Paul Heckingbottom, who've achieved five League One promotions between them and four via the playoffs. Doesn't get more expert than that. We'll also be hearing from all four managers who are fighting for that place in the Skybet Championship. And speaking of the Championship, Joby McEnough will be looking ahead to the weekend's games and talking through what has probably been the busiest week of the season so far. But first, let's look back at what was a magnificent Monday for Northampton Town.
The EFL Skybet Playoffs.
Hobson, who hits it, and the deflection, takes it in. What a start for Northampton Town. And for the third time in four seasons, Exeter find themselves a goal behind at Wembley. Oh, Morton's there to arrive again. He's done it once more. What an end to the season this young man is having. Well, talk about the old cliche, right man, right place, right time. Morton got Smith up with him this time. Looks as though he might have been fouled, but play goes on with Marshall in possession. And there is the goal that will seal this final, scored by Sam Hoskins, and will seal Northampton's place in League One next season.
Good long throw.
Smith on the end of it. Oh, it's another goal, would you believe? He's only just come off the substitutes bench less than a minute ago, and Williams has put the icing very much on the top of the cake for Northampton Town.
Well, I'm all stressed. I've got a bottle of champagne, but it's unopened, and I don't drink. It's purely as a momentum. I've got a flag.
Yeah.
I've got the Magnum champagne, and I've got the medal. So again, I'll go home. I'll spend time with my family, who are very important to me. They know the sacrifices, and they accept the sacrifices that I make, because I value my role as manager of the football club, and they know that needs commitment. So I'll go and spend time with them. And enjoy watching the game back. Now is not the time to talk about individuals. I think I'm a manager. I want to win games of football, and I want to be successful. And that was part of the message when I spoke to the chairman when I first had my first interview. I told him, I need a promotion. I need to go to join the football club and go on a journey. I spoke to the chairman, and I believed. He knew we had to reshape and refinance the football club, and we needed to do the same way as the players as well. We owed that to the players. What we didn't want to do is have management staff committing themselves before the players knew, because I think it's wrong. So, you know, if the manager doesn't say for whatever reason, I don't think it's right then that he tells players about their future. As a football club, we decided together that we'd have those conversations when the timing was right.
Yes, what a win for Keith Curl, his first promotion after such a long time as a manager. Now time to focus on those Skybet League One playoffs, though. Let's hear from Portsmouth's Kenny Jackett and Oxford's Carl Robinson. First, here's Kenny.
Skybet League One.
Been a long time coming. We're delighted to have the chance, though, the opportunity to get ourselves into the Championship. It's what we've worked so hard for this season, and you know, now we're there. A little bit of a delay, obviously, because of, you know, so League One sorting itself out, but we understand that. And anyway, as we come now to the week of the game, stroke games next weekend, we're ready to go and really looking forward to it and try everything we can to take that opportunity. It's been really tight in League One, and you know, it's going to be a big finish to the season and so hard to call. And anyway, as it you know, as I say, both sides, you know, finished on exactly the same points and have done well, but you know, very impressive Oxford. They're a good team, some good individuals, and they're a good unit.
Oxford United, this is
uncharted territory for us. This is a place we haven't found ourselves before for a long, 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 long time. And we're three games away from the Championship, which is an unbelievable achievement by the fans and the players and the staff. And something that I just said to the players in there, I'm so proud of them. I really am. I think the world of every single one of my players, they know what I think of them, they know how much I want them to be successful, and they know how much I want to keep them together, and they know how much I want them to be playing, that our fans get to see this team play again. And we know that the only way that's going to be possible is by getting into that next league, and that's something we've got to try and make happen.
So that was Kenny Jackett and Carl Robinson. Now let's hear from Wickham's Gareth Ainsworth and Fleetwood Town's Joey Barton ahead of their semi-final, starting with Gareth.
The fans aren't going to be there. All I can say is we know you are there. We know in spirit you are there. And it's been fantastic that the way that they've firstly taken up the season tickets, even though the prices have increased, because obviously, you know, things have changed in the world, and the club was always sort of slightly behind on that anyway. And also that they've paid to put cardboard cutouts in the stadium, not just to themselves, the ones who've passed away this year, who sadly can't be at the game, but will be there in spirit, the ex-players, again, some that we've lost, and just, you know, people down the years who've supported this fantastic club. I want to give them something to cheer about beyond their wildest dreams. That could be this weekend, so thank you for all your support. We were going to give this our right best shot, and we'll see what happens.
We were convinced that we would mount a challenge. I think we were in the form to mount a challenge. But it's unprecedented times. You know, nobody can foresee it. And obviously, you know, it's nobody's fault. We've got a chance. You know, it's in our own hands to get ourselves in the Championship. And if we're going to be good enough to get in the Championship and stay in the Championship, then we should be capable. You know, we've got to be capable of certainly getting to the final at Wembley. And then obviously beyond that, you know, winning that game and making sure you get there. If you don't do that, then you don't deserve to be there. We would have liked the last nine games because we felt we had a live chance and we were in good nick and in a good vein of form. But I don't think we were the only team. You know, there's lots of other teams in and around us who were in the same boat. Some of us will get the chance to decide our future on the pitch. And unfortunately, some of those teams have not been able to do that. Obviously, Peterborough, Sunderland spring to mind because I think they were two good sides. But that's done now. You know, it's in the past. The decision's made. You know, COVID's kicked in. And we're ready to go. There's no excuses. We don't feel any hardship done to us. You know, we've got an opportunity to earn a spot in the Championship and we'll give it a right go.
Now, who else better to join me to talk about the League One playoffs other than Simon Grayson and Paul Heckingbottom? Both have achieved promotion via the playoffs. Simon, you've done it three times. So what does it take to be successful at this level, at this stage?
I think you've got to have a good group of players to start with because they've got you into the playoffs from the start of pre-season. I think you've got to have a group of players as well that are focused on what's next in hand in terms of now we're going to go into the first leg of the first division playoffs. They need to concentrate on the first leg. Once that's out of the way, take stock of what they've done, what they've achieved, then go on to the next second leg. And hopefully, if you're successful, you can then now focus on the final. I think sometimes players get a little bit carried away of thinking, well, before they've even got to the final, we could be in the Championship playing all these big teams. But you've got to have a focus about you that you don't get away from what you've done all season as well in terms of how your game plan has been, how you've managed situations, how you're not getting carried away with where you are rather than what's got you there. So the players have got to be focused and that comes down to the manager sort of having the belief in them as well and the players having belief in themselves as well.
Paul, we'll start by looking at Oxford against Portsmouth. Both had such good cup runs this season in both the Carabao Cup and the Leasing.com Trophy. You won the trophy with Barnsley before you won your promotion in 2016. How much confidence did that cup run give you and your team going into your playoff campaign?
Yeah, I think it helped the club, the season, the team massively. Whilst at the beginning of that season, things were going bad in the league. You know, at one point, Barnsley were bottom of the league. But they were still in the cup and winning games in the cup, so you could still keep that confidence. And then after I took over, we had the cup final and it was a dress rehearsal for the playoffs. So it was brilliant for us. We had a young side, lots of players who obviously not experienced the the playoffs there, because as Sam's just been saying, how unique they are. It's like a cup semi-final after 46 rounds, you know. It's unprecedented. It's an unbelievable experience. So I think the fact that we'd been to Wembley and won there helped us when we went back there with the playoffs. It was one less thing to worry about. And we could just speak about the things Simon spoke about there, the fact of the difference of playing in two legs, which, you know, you don't do. The big European teams do, but we don't do it very often. So the fact you might win the home leg, but it's still only half-time, those type of things. So it was great for us, the fact that we'd been to Wembley, we'd been to the cup final and won. We knew then when we did get there that it was nothing new to us. You know, we'd done it a couple of months earlier.
Staying with Portsmouth though, Simon, obviously in terms of fan base, probably the biggest club out of the three, out of the four, should I say, who are in the playoff campaign now. How difficult can it be to be successful in the playoffs though when you're managing such a big team?
Well, I think you've got the expectancy levels on you right the way from the start of the season. So you're carrying that in every game that you're going into, whether you've got 20,000 at home and 5,000 supporters away, like probably Portsmouth do it for large parts of the season, that they're having to deal with expectancy levels right the way through it. Just because now they've gone into the playoffs, that there's no difference to that. And I think when you're doing your recruitment and you're a big football club, you've got to have players that are able to handle and thrive on the big occasions and the big expectancy levels as well. So that's why them players are there in the first place. But as we're probably going to touch on soon, is that Portsmouth have got the expectancy level, but they haven't got the supporters behind them. So now it's four teams of level par in terms of supporter on them particular semi-finals and the final.
Yeah, and I think back on Portsmouth, they sort of had their wobble and they had a slow start to the season, didn't they? And they really picked up. So in terms of that, I don't think they've got any worries on that, because there was questions asked of those players, of the manager, early on in the season, and they've just shown that they can deal with that sort of pressure, and they came back and strolled into the playoffs, really.
Yeah, Paul, on the flip side of that, Portsmouth had that fantastic record at home at Fratton Park as well in the league. So, in a way, could that benefit Oxford now, knowing that they don't have to face that cauldron-like atmosphere that you get at Portsmouth? Obviously, it's a very unique place to go, is Fratton Park.
Yeah, it is, and we've... I would have thought the players and managers, we've been watching football now with no crowds. It's totally different, you know, totally different. I can't imagine what playing there would be. I know me as a player, I would have hated it. I needed the fans, I needed a crowd. So, yeah, it will be different, and it's throwing up different performances, different results that we're seeing now in the Championship and in the Premier League. So it will be strange, but they've all got to deal with, haven't they? They're all four teams. You know, we could talk about form before the layoff. We could talk about crowds. We could talk about anything we want. This is their first game back, and it'll come down to how they're prepared. I don't know how many games they've had behind closed doors. It's just another level, another thing to throw into these playoffs. It's going to be all about how they're prepared before this game.
Simon, will that underdog mentality maybe, though, help Oxford, as well as the fact they don't have to play in front of a crowd at Fratton Park? Obviously, like I mentioned earlier, that, you know, they have thrived in the Carabao Cup this season.
Well, I think knowing Carl and knowing the group of players that he's got there, I think they won't be thinking themselves as underdogs. They've had a great season, played some real good stuff, rightly so in the playoffs. And I think if people are classing them as underdogs, it won't be anybody inside of Carl Robinson's dressing room. They'll be using it as a motivation if anybody is saying that. But it's all now, it's down to two games with the semi-finals. Who's going to be able to perform? There's no pressure now because, I'm saying there's no pressure from the crowds. That's all what I was talking about. Rather than sort of any pressure now is going to come with inside in yourself. You're all under pressure. The manager, the players now have got the pressure that they've got to perform. But ultimately, that's what you thrive on as a professional coach and player, that you week in and week out, you put yourself under pressure. So the undertag, going back to the original point, won't have bothered Carl or any of his players. I think they'll be quite happy to play that way.
Oh, but out of the two managers, you know, Kenny Jackett has obviously got that relationship with the playoffs. Will that affect Carl Robinson psychologically at all? You know, you think, you know, coming up against someone who, you know, has been there and done it at this level?
No, I don't think so. I think Carl will be as excited as his players. Sam touched on it. I think Carl's got a lot of belief. His players have. They play some good football as well. I actually saw one of Simon's games at Blackpool against Oxford, how they play. They'll want to go and express themselves and show off and show exactly what they're about. So, no, I don't think he'll be worried about that at all. It'll be new. And so me going there the first time as a manager, yet it is different. You have to think about things differently and what potentially could happen and come about in a different circumstance. But I had 4 times a player to call upon, and that was good for me. Simon's got experience before, so I think experience is good for those things. But I don't think you're comparing yourself against another manager or things like that, you know. Kenny's been there, he's won a few times, he's lost as well. He'll know how to handle all the different situations and maybe not have to put as much thought of that into his preparation, whereas Carl will be. It's a big opportunity for everyone, and he'll be doing his homework on everything.
But you're not just talking, Carl as a new manager. He's been around the block, he's been lots of games, so he's experienced enough to deal with these situations, regardless who he's coming up against. So, again, Carl'll be enjoying that sort of that opportunity to try and get his club into the final and beyond.
Yeah, and of course he has experienced promotion from League One as well with MK Dons. But Simon, Oxford were also the informed team in the division before the season was halted. Could that be, you know, of benefit to them now going into these games?
I don't think so. I think we've seen now with the Championship and the Premier League what teams and what runs that they had before has been no significance once we've restarted. So you just think now, you look back and think over the last few weeks how well the team have trained, how they've prepared, how much preparation they've done, who's in the right frame mind, that they're looking now to make sure that the focus on this job, regardless of what's gone before, it's all about now what they're going to do and who can hit the ground running, because ultimately we talk about the Championship, Premier League having 9-10 game season. This potentially could be a 2-game season for 2 of the clubs, won't it? So it's whoever picks up the reins very quickly will have the best opportunity.
Well, moving on to Fleetwood and Wickham's game now, it was such a tough race in the regular season for promotion. Wickham were up there at the top for probably the longest period out of any of the teams before falling away. Do you think their season was tailing off a little bit, or will this break have helped them regroup?
Yeah, it's potentially helped. I think they've got such a small squad, you know, and Gareth's done a fantastic job. Recruits a lot on personality and character, but they can't afford the numbers, so... Yeah, it possibly was taking its toll. But again, Gareth's got good experience. However many games he's managed now, he's got an experienced squad, some big characters within that. And it'll have helped everyone regroup and get ready and get fit. And one thing we've not said yet, I know both times when we went to Wembley in that one season, it's the only time I've had every single player available. You know, it's everyone will be chomping at the bit. They'll be desperate to get in the team, desperate to play at Wembley, and desperate to get a promotion to the Championship. So... I think, yeah, it's possibly that break for them's come at a good time. As Simon just said there, now it's just, that's all scratched, and it's just to start the hits the ground running and performed in these next 3 games.
Yeah, Simon, Wickham have done it against all the odds as well, it would seem, as Paul says, you know, with one of the smallest squads in the division, one of the smallest budgets as well in the division. Could you, at the start of the year, could you have seen them there? And, you know, could you see them being one of the successful teams?
Well, I think if everybody's been quite honest, and Gareth will be the same as well, he probably didn't expect them to suddenly jump from just being escaping relegation to them being at the top of the division for the large parts of the season like they did. And that's full credit to the players that we brought in, the recruitment that they did. When I've looked at them twice this year and other games when we've been doing our review of situations, is that they've got amazing... team spirit, they work so hard, they chase lost causes, they've got this sort of way of playing which they all know how to do it. They get it up front and they go and win second balls, they've got a lot of energy about them. But I think also they've got some individuals that can do something out of nothing as well. We mentioned Akin Fenwa being a big part of their team and how they play, but they've got other lads around him that can feed off him and understand where the ball's going to drop. And I think one of the big things that they do have as well is that they know how to see games out. So many times we won 1-0 last year and the they're under pressure throughout a game, and suddenly somebody will go down, they take the time on throw-ins, set pieces. They do know how to win football matches. And I think being up there was tough for them because they were there still to be shot at, but Gareth was still keeping them under the radar. But now he'll be delighted that they've snuck into the playoffs, and now they've got as good a chance as anybody.
Paul, they've obviously got that longevity in terms of the manager with Gareth Ainsworth, who have been there for such a long time as well. How impressive is it that he's been able to do what he has done and get what he has done out of the players, considering he's been coaching them for such a long period of time?
Yeah, definitely. But that's probably the right way to go about it. You know, he's got a good relationship with the owner there. I know he'll have had chances to move, but he's got a lot of control down there in terms of decisions made over the comings and goings of the players. And he's been able to build something. And it's not just about building that squad. It's about building the spirit that Simon's just been on about as well. So they've got a clear way of playing, which they've been able to groove over time. They've built the spirit within the squad. And that's been credit to him. And that's been what it's all based on. You know, it's not a fluke. It's been built over time. They've had a couple of tough times as well, but they've battled through them and they're all the stronger for it now.
Simon, at the start of the year, he played down Wickham's promotion hopes to Gareth Ainsworth as well, you know, despite being top of the league at times. But he's now saying that, you know, he has the belief that his side can achieve that promotion. As a manager, how important is it that you get that public message right, as well as the message that you're giving to the players privately?
Well, it's a big part of being a manager, that you have to manage situations and you have to do what's required. And I think he's been very clever, Gareth, that he wanted at the first part of the season to be under the radar, not build up the chances of getting automatic promotion. So he just kept on doing it, and all of a sudden another month goes and they're still up there. Then obviously they had a bit of a tough time, dropped out, but now they've got back in it. He's going to certainly feel as confident as any of the other three managers that are in there with his group of players, because they've been up there for a long time. He's certainly got a lot of belief in them that they can do it. So I think he's done it well. Keep under the radar when the season was just going along nicely, but certainly now we're getting to this crucial state of going into the playoffs. Build up your players. Why don't you? Because they're there for a reason. They've kept out a lot of bigger teams than Wickham Wanderers, and no disrespect to them. They're there on merit, obviously. People will talk about the way the season finished, but they have been up for large parts of the season in around it, so they probably do deserve to be there. Now, as I said, bully them up because they've got something that they think they can achieve.
Well, focusing on Fleetwood now, though, they actually come into the game on the back of a 12-game unbeaten run, but will that, you know, as we talked about with Simon earlier, will that, you know, mean anything after the restart?
No, I don't think so. It's as we keep saying, it's the preparation now. It's just 3 one-off games. You know, that's it. They've got to just produce the best now, and they've had no preparation for it. They've had a long layoff. That's the difficulty. But in terms of, they've got a big similarity to Wickham in my eyes, in terms of they're both really attritional teams, and they've been able to come out on top in really tight games. And that's why this is an interesting one for me. I think Portsmouth and Oxford are a bit different with the spending power and the styles of play. They've been able to blow some teams away when they've actually hit the straps. These two have tended to grind the way through it, and they've been really attritional and really difficult to play against. And when it's been tight, they've found a way to win. Just credit to both managers. So I just think it's going to be a really interesting contest over the two games. I can't see much in it either way. But again, we're just guessing because they've been off for that long.
Yeah, playoff football certainly is very unpredictable. But Simon, I know they've been on that terrific run, Fleetwood. But out of all the sides, it seems that they're maybe the one team who've snuck in there at the last minute, maybe into the playoffs. When you look at those who missed out, did you expect them to be one of the teams up in those positions?
Well, I think living in around the area and listening to Joey's interviews, he certainly believed that they were going to be in the playoffs right from the start.
Believes in himself.
But I think, look, there was the division was so tight that there was a host of clubs that could have been in them playoffs, from Peterborough, Sunderland, Doncaster, and a few that I've not even mentioned, that is what it is now. So whether I thought Fleetwood would get there or not, they've got there. And just because they're them and Wickham are the two smaller clubs in the playoffs, doesn't make any difference. They're now there on merit. They've got some good players, people like Madden and Ched Evans can score goals. So they'll certainly believe in that they will be able to achieve success. And ultimately, when they've got a manager who certainly is confident he is, then that will bounce off them as well.
Yes, speaking of that confidence, Paul, Joe Barton has said this week that this is the most important game of his players' lives. Is it right to build this up for the players this occasion?
Yeah, listen, everyone will have their own way of doing it. And Joey won't just randomly come out and say that. I bet he's got the reputation of being a motivator and wanting to motivate his players. So he'll have been doing that throughout previous games in the season, whether it's been a derby, whether they've been playing someone near the top of the league. That's Joey's style, you know. Simon just spoke about his interviews and things and the belief he wants to put out there. It'll not just be random and out of character, you know. He'll have used that, not that line in particular, but that's his style to get his players going. So it won't all of a sudden be something strange to them, you know. The size of the game, the significance of it, they'll be well aware of. So I just think it'll be no difference in terms of Joe in his preparation. He'll just be winding him up just as he has been throughout the season.
Should be two cracking ties. Boys, we'll have to end it there. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries, Ben. Thank you.
The Sky Bet Championship.
Now it's time to look at the championship with Jubby Makhanov. Jubby, so many twists and turns already this week, and that's even before the Middlesbrough and Hull game, which is due to kick off around the time when the show will go out. I just want to start by looking at the state of play in the promotion race, though. Six games to go, the top two still in situ, but have we got a real fight on our hands now with the way Brentford have performed since the restart?
Yeah, for me, you know, Brentford coming back and being in the form they've been in, again, winning the games that they have, you know, against those teams in and around them has really, you know, given them a shot in the arm, you know, going into this run-in now. And I think it certainly made Leeds and West Brom look over their shoulders. And, you know, I think coming back into it, you may have thought that those two might run away with it. West Brom have been shaky, obviously, big win, you know, last night, as it was to get that result and help them to really try and push on a little bit. Leeds, who being Leeds, seem to be stuttering a little bit, you know, obviously followed up a real good win against Fulham with a disappointing result, you know, certainly against Luton. It's a game you'd expect them to win, particularly at home. And, you know, for me, Brentford are a team that are very much in form and certainly one that those top two have got to be a little bit worried about.
Yeah, we'll come back to Brentford shortly, but have you been surprised at how both Leeds and West Brom have dropped 5 points already? I know, obviously, West Brom had that important win the other night against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, listen, I think seeing how teams reacted when we came back from the break was going to be obviously interesting. Leeds, who had been on a fantastic run going into it and looked like they were about to really move clear and run away with it and get that promotion. You know, West Brom also had come out of a bit of a dip and looked again like they'd got themselves consolidated in the second place. So I think it just shows the unpredictability of it. After the break, we knew there would be some strange results. There's certainly results that you'd probably expect, you know, them to pick up more points than they have done. But I think that's going to be how it is now. Between now and the end of the season, there's going to be some real nail-biting moments, and it's just about who puts the best run together that's going to get over the line now, I think.
Yeah, and the race for that final place in the top six is also an interesting one, as it seems to be most years as well. Before the restart, could you predicted, you know, your former side, Cardiff and Derby, will be the two in particular fighting for that position?
Yeah, I must say I was a little bit worried about Preston. And again, you know, going back to before the break, they looked like the most vulnerable one, being in that sixth place, but also their form, you know, wasn't particularly good. You know, we've spoken about maybe the small size of their squad that may go against them, especially with this amount of games to come up. And you contrast that with Cardiff, who for me have got a very deep squad. You know, you only have to see that, the impact their subs have made this year. You know, watched, you know, the game the other day and, you know, Mendes Lang coming on and scoring, you know, Robert Glatzel as well. And for me, that's something that's going to really prove to be important in this last run in to keep people fresh. I know Neil Harris made some changes the other night and they drew. But again, it's keeping people fresh. And, you know, I think they'd be very, very able to do that. And obviously Derby, again, you know, coming on the back of it now, like a steam train, really. They really are coming through. And obviously Rooney's been a big, big part of that since he's arrived. And, you know, you can't rule out any team with Ray Rooney in it playing as well as he is, you know, from being in contention. So listen, as always, it's going to be a real exciting end to the season, and, you know, place is up for grabs.
Yeah, we'll get on to talk more about Wayne Rooney shortly. But these are two of the teams as well you'll be watching in action this weekend for Sky Sports as well, of course. Let's start with that East Midlands derby, though. How do both teams approach this one? Are Forest still going for automatic promotion, or is it about preparing for those playoffs now?
Yeah, listen, I would probably say, you know, I heard Sabrina Mitchell coming out and saying that it is still possible. For me, I would be concentrating on really making sure they cement their place in those playoffs. At the moment, they're in the driving seat, very much so. And, you know, they're going to be a tough team to beat, you know, if they do end up in the playoffs, as we've seen this year. You know, very, very good defensively, very organised, and very hard to get a result against. So, again, yeah, do I see them challenging for the top two? Not really. I think Derby are the ones that probably need to win the game more. If I was Forest, again, I'd be looking at it as keeping them where they are against a rival for those playoff places. It's important to keep that distance that they've got at the moment and then go on and get the points they need in the other game. So, you know, I think if you had to ask who'd be happier with potentially a draw, then it'd be Forest at the moment, whereas Derby probably need to make up that ground to get in there.
Yeah, no, us and obviously every other EFL show have spoken a lot about Wayne Rooney, but you can't deny his impact at Derby, as you've just said. Top of the table, you know, since his arrival in terms of that form table. Is the only fear maybe that there'll be too much of a reliance on him? We've seen similar with Leeds recently, who maybe struggled when Pablo Hernandez hasn't been on the pitch for them.
Yeah, I think it's very important, you know, that they keep him fit. Keep him as fresh as they can. But, you know, I'm a massive, massive fan of Wayne Rooney, you know, for what he's done in his career, you know, at Man United, for England, for the length of time he has to still have that desire, you know, to come back from America and play in the Championship. And again, for someone who has played lower down the leagues, particularly later on in my career, you know, that drive and that motivation is something that gets tested at times. And I think the fact he has got that responsibility, he very much is the driving force behind everything that Derby are doing. I think, and again, we've seen in the past, he thrives on that responsibility, and clearly it's bringing the best out of him. But not only that, it brings the best out of players around him as well. And I think he's taken those other players' games to another level because they see how well he's doing and his attitude, his application. And for me, he's been fantastic. Real, real breath of fresh air to see him, you know, drop down and come, roll his sleeves up, as we know that he always does, and put in the types of performance that he has done.
Yeah, similar to Joby McAnuff maybe in the National League last season.
Slightly different.
And obviously the seven-side derby, the second match you're covering, polar opposite starts in terms of the restart for Bristol City and Cardiff. Is only a win good enough for Lee Johnson if they're going to challenge for that top six?
Yes, and they need one urgently. You know, they really need to turn the tide. You know, real, real bad run of form now. And it just seems as though, you know, they're going to fall away again. You know, and again, we've seen it before with Bristol City. And I think that would be the most disappointing thing, you know, for Lee Johnson, having got themselves in such a good position earlier on in the season, where we really thought this was going to be the year that they'd make that breakthrough into the playoffs. And they've just really faded away and haven't been able to convert what was a really good start to the season into playoff positions. And, you know, as you say, the form couldn't be any different. Cardiff are really in a good place right now, and I think it's going to be a tough game given, you know, the fact that they're in poor form, for Bristol City to overcome what I see is one of the strongest teams in the league at the moment.
And Cardiff, as we've talked about, they've lost out Albert Adoma though, who's returned to Forest. As you'll probably tell me, wingers are very important in teams. How frustrating will that be for them to lose someone who's been a success for them and featured in all, you know, most of the games that he's been available for them?
Yeah, wingers are clearly the most important players on the pitch. That's a fact. Everyone knows that. But no, for Albert, you know, who I know relatively well, and I think particularly for Cardiff and Neil Harris and the way that he likes his team set up, yes, they're offensive players. You know, everyone knows how good he is driving with the ball. you know, very, very positive when he gets on it, carries the team up the pitch. But he also does a fantastic job defensively, giving cover, you know, to his fullbacks, tracking runners. And it's the same with Junior Hoylett on the other side. And I think that's why Cardiff have been on this run, because they've got a good balance. Again, a team that is very well organised. And, you know, I think they're going to miss Albert Adoma. I really do. I think he's brought a nice balance to the team. And listen, when a player like that goes out the door, particularly at this stage of the season, it's going to be a big loss. But those substitutes that we spoke about earlier, it will give somebody an opportunity to come in, play a bit more than they have been. And I'm sure there'll be players there, you know, relishing that opportunity and ready to step in and make their mark.
Yeah, I said we'd talk about Brentford again as well. They face Wigan in what is now a huge game for both clubs. We've seen a lot of fighting talk from Wigan's players on social media in the last 24 hours after, obviously, the announcement they were going to be deducted those 12 points after going into administration. How important is it that they keep their spirits up? Because they are, you know, they're in form that, you know, is undeniably the best in the division, despite now being bottom.
Yeah, I'm gutted. I'm really gutted for Wigan. You know, when I heard that news, I think, one, I was very, very surprised. You know, and two, again, to put them in the position they're in after the run they've put together, again, themselves, they looked like they were banging trouble really earlier on in the season, you know, really, really up against it to stay up. And they've done that on the pitch, you know, now a decision off the pitch could rob them of that. And as a footballer, that's the worst thing. You know, you go out, you know, you're paid to go out and win matches. And that's exactly what they have done. So they've kept their part of the bargain up. And unfortunately, a situation off the pitch, you know, could really derail all of that. So, you know, I really hope, I must say, over the duration of the season, it isn't something that results in them getting relegated. I think they've deserved, with their performances and their results so far, certainly to stay in the league. But of course, you know, Brentford need a win to keep that pressure on the top two. So, you know, it's going to be a real battle of the form teams, as you say, and it's a real hard one to pick. I think the fact that that has happened to Wigan will give them a little bit of added determination. You know, they won't want that to be the deciding factor in whether they get relegated or not. So I'm sure they'll come out fighting. They've obviously got a good togetherness as it is already, and I expect to be a real tough game for Brentford.
Yeah, do you feel that Brentford have to win all their games to get that automatic promotion? Looking at the running, every team they face, you know, like Wigan this weekend, every team they face is playing for something as well.
Yeah, but I think that's the beauty of this league. Year in, year out, you know, right till the end of the season, you don't get many dead rubbers, you know, many games where there isn't anything riding on it. And I think that is what keeps it so honest, keeps it, you know, it's always going down to the wire, because even at this stage of the season, there's probably only three or four teams that have got nothing to play for, really, in that mid sort of table. It's so tight at the bottom, you know, so tight in those playoff to top positions as well. You know, it would be a real, real interesting end to the season. I think from that point of view, it puts something on every game, you know. And again, as a player, that's what you want going into the matches, particularly in the circumstances with the lack of fans and other issues around the games, knowing that win can get you a promotion place or keep you out the bottom three, really is that edge that you need to keep your levels high.
Yeah, there's certainly so much to talk about at the minute, but we'll have to leave it there for now. Joby, thanks for your time and have a great weekend.
Cheers, Ben. Nice one, mate.
And that's it from us this week. Thanks so much to all our guests and to you, the listener, of course. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the show if you like what you've heard. Bye for now.